Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the show. This is Barn Goddess Barbecue and More. I'm your host, Lori Frazee, and, you know, it's Tuesday, so that means it's storming in Dunellen. I think the barbecue gods are not are not coming together in Dunellen, because just about every Tuesday night, we don't need a weatherman. We just need to know the show's on, and it's storming. I always worry about the power going off, so that's how I know it's Tuesday. Anyway, you know, I'd like to thank my guest from last week. I had a great show last week. If you missed it, you know that you can always catch the shows in archives. And I'm going to explain just a little bit, because I had somebody ask me this week. They never understood why the guys who are on Barbecue Superstars put the call-in number. Just because you guys call in doesn't mean we're going to put you on the air. But there's a little thing that says to speak to the host, press a certain number. And if you want to, then you can press, and it'll show on a little screen I'm looking at. What happens is I have a lot of people that are driving, and they know the number, or they keep the number handy, and they want to hear certain guests. And while they're driving, they can call in and listen to the show. So if you're in a situation, even on like those Friday nights when I do live shows or remotes from different barbecue contests, if you want to listen in, you can always go to the call-in number. It's all the same for the guys on Barbecue Superstar. So we all have the same call-in number, because we actually work off the same network as such. So you can use that number to call in, and if you want to listen to it in archives, you can go in to the computer, and that's what those links are for. There's a link up there today, and I usually say try to put one up later. Actually, somebody asked me about this week's. If you go on the Barn Goddess Radio Show page on Facebook, I'll put last week's link up there if I don't have it on there already. But we had Scott Galt on from the sauce company out of Georgia. Really enjoyed having him on. They're getting ready to do a big launch. And then we had William Smith, better known as Bill Smith, Bill and Tiny Townsend from the American Grilled the week before, and really enjoyed having them on. And then, of course, we had Jim Elzer on last week, vying for Team of the Year in the state of Florida with the FBA, Florida Barbecue Association, and kind of caught up with him. Jim is one of my sponsors, and he's basically a fan favorite, not only because he's a sponsor, but because, you know, this guy is literally, and I'm giving Matt Barber and the guys in Florida that are out there every week. I mean, I don't know how they do it. And Matt, Jim, their individual Rub Bagby, you know, we usually compete alone. Those guys compete alone. I've done 13 contests. I think Jim's is like at 34 contests. I would be crazed. So, you know, it was nice catching up with him and seeing what's going on. This week in the state of Florida, we've got the Live Oak contest, Smoking on the Swanee. Damon Woolley does a great job. I'm actually doing my judging as a certified judge in the state of Florida, and I think in KCBS too, that you have to judge at least one contest within the year. And because I wanted to concentrate more on competing this year, this is my one for the year. Otherwise, I'm going to run out of time and have to take a class again, and really don't care to do that. So, you know, really want to thank again the guys from last week. Congratulate Damon Woolley in advance. He always does a great job. He sent out really nice verifications for judging. I mentioned it a couple weeks ago, but he sent out a YouTube video to both the judges and to the team. So I just think that's going a little bit above and beyond. And as a team, you know, Damon competes also. He kind of knows the little extra things that teams appreciate. Also, you know, this week I had to call a couple guys to help me with something. I am trying my hand at making my own fresh bacon. And, you know, of course, you've got Doug Kyles out there, the Ribs Within. I think he placed third in bacon at the World Food Champions last year. I have talked to him this week. I had to call Mad Hunky Rich, the owner of Mad Hunky Meats, and Rich kind of talked me through what I had because I didn't have everything I really needed, but it looks beautiful. It smells beautiful. I'm going to be posting on my personal Facebook page, Lori.Frazee31 on Facebook, if you want to see. You know, I had the slab as it was, just plain, and really was pretty good. I didn't have to trim that much on it, but I took some other pictures as I was trimming it. And I have to tell you, for anybody that's ever skinned a pig, taking that belly skin off just reminded me of hanging a pig when I was still teaching school and wished I'd had a sharp pocket knife because we used to basically skin those pigs in the old days with pocket knives. And, you know, I have pretty sharp knives, but I was thinking as I'm cutting that if it were just hanging and the weight of the meat would bring that off a lot better. Anyway, so I'm very anxious to see how it comes through, and I appreciate Rich's input this week. He really helps me out. It's a nice thing to be able to call people, and I think if you are on social media like Facebook, you can go on just about any of the catering sites. I see, as a matter of fact, I saw Chris Chadwick had a post up about different numbers for catering, and so it's nice to know that you can go to a social media and call upon the expertise of some of the people that are out there. Also want to thank Forrest Dillmore. Forrest is one of the guys who does a great job. He's a past president of the Florida Barbecue Association, but Forrest is now starting to compete nationally with Dutch Oven Cooking, and he is doing a class at the Fun Cook in Florida, which is always Labor Day weekend. I talk a lot about it because I think anybody who is interested in getting involved, it's a great first-time event. There's no points. And basically, it's a play weekend, but there's money to be made, and there's all kinds of stuff that goes on. I'll be attending a class. There's several people attending the Dutch Oven Cooking class that Force is going to put on, and then we're competing. So it kind of goes hand in hand, but, you know, now everybody that is serious about competing, you know, I'm trying to research in advance what to do because it's wide open. So I'm going to have Forrest on. I've asked him to come on next week and talk a little bit more about that, so I appreciate him. And then I want to thank my sponsors, basically Sweet Smoke Q, Jim Elzer. You know, we've talked about his Q juice. The beef injection is getting ready to come out. It's going to be a 4-to-1 concentrate. The pork injection is amazing, and I've used the beef injection. The last one I didn't have any, and my brisket didn't do so well. Actually, the judges of that one just absolutely hated my flavor profiles because I tanked it, and it was cooked perfectly. But, you know, it happens. And so on any given Sunday, or Saturday in our case, it could go to anybody. Mac Daddy Smokers, if you want to go on their Facebook page, they're looking for a certain amount of likes, and then they're going to give away a Pit Viper, just like the one that I use in competition, which is a great grill. I also like to thank Rec-Tec Pellet Cookers. I've got a pellet smoker that, you know, I cooked on it yesterday. Basically, you know, there's only two of us living here. I actually am cooking for somebody else. It's a friend that recently lost his wife, and for the last year I was blessed to be able to cook for them, and now I'm kind of keeping cooking for him. But, you know, I made a bunch of different meats, and we weird for breakfast. So it was breakfast, lunch, and dinner, compliments of the Rec-Tec. So, you know, check them out. And also Pirate 50 does an amazing job on signs. And I think I just saw that he took a class this week with Rob Bagby, so you'll have to really start watching him at competitions. And Royal Oak Charcoal, both the lump and the briquettes, I use them for my charcoal. And I'm also using cookandpellets.com exclusively, the premium blend that I love to death. And I'm going to go straight to my first guest here. And, George, are you there? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Hey, you sound great. So we've got George Hensler with us, and we know and love George as a writer in National Barbecue News. And, George, do you write for the Bull Sheet, too?
Yes, I do. My columns actually appear in both papers each month.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize that. Is it the same column every month?
It is now. When I first began, I was writing a separate column for each paper, but now it's the same column.
And that's because you've gotten very busy, haven't you?
it's, Yep. It's you know, coming up with the ideas for fresh ideas. That seems to be the challenge for me, anyway.
Yeah, and how long? I mean, George has been on with us one other time. We were promoting your book at the time, but how long have you been writing? I forget what your time was with both of those publications.
I've been writing for the two newspapers. 5 years. We just went past our fifth year here. You know, each month. So.
And I enjoyed it. I mean, basically, you know, that's why I contacted you last year. I was reading one, and I'm like, I got to get this guy on here because you have some great little stories. I really enjoyed your book. But we're going to talk specifically about you being a judge. But you have a new book getting ready to come out.
Well, actually, it's out. It's called Totally Q. It's kind of like a barbecue trivia book. It's a bunch of fun facts, so to speak, about grilling, barbecuing, outdoor cooking, and that kind of stuff. It's not a recipe book. It's just kind of a, you know, did you ever know kind of thing. It's one of those books you can pick up and read it from front to back, or just jump in the middle and read a chapter or a couple of paragraphs and sit it down and, you know, that kind of
thing. And come back to it.
Yep.
Yeah, and you know what? I thought you had another book because the Totally Q book is the one I have, and it is a very easy, enjoyable read. I mean, I'm thinking of one thing off the top of my head is that you write in there about Sonny Tillman, and I pulled that trivia fact out of my hind end once when I was driving by Tillman Acres up in High Springs, and they go, "Well, how did you know that?" So, you know, I had to give you credit there, but I actually thought you had another book that was coming out.
Actually, Totally Q is my second book. My first book, which you might be thinking of, was called Starting a Fire, and that is a how-to book on how to get involved in competition barbecue cooking.
Yeah, and when did you come out with that book?
That book, I would say, probably 4 or 5 years ago. Right around the same time I started writing for the two papers.
Yeah, because at the time, it wasn't as prevalent now as for somebody to find out how to get into it. Classes seemed to be extremely expensive for people. So that book was very timely when it came out.
Yes, it was. And usually I'm the kind of guy, my luck is always, you know, you should have been here yesterday kind of a deal. It was always better the day before I got there. But in this case, it just seemed like it did get come out right at a good time. I mean, I still think that the barbecuing and grilling and competition cooking and all is really still in its infancy. But at that time, you're exactly right. It wasn't as big as it is now.
Right.
It was, you know, kind of just really starting to really take some leaps and bounds, and it hit at the right time, and it's really still it still sells. It's still fairly popular. You know, somebody will talk about it on a post somewhere, and we'll see some sales go out as that kind of thing. It's still, people are still reading it. People still come up to me at contests and say they used it and that kind of thing, which, you know, that's kind of makes me feel good.
Well, and let's see, the first book and Totally Q, you can get on Amazon, isn't it?
Yes, yep.
Okay,
yep.
And where else can they get that besides Amazon?
My website has links to pages that they can get them, and my website is WATGBBQ.com for my team name, which is Who Are Those Guys? WATGBBQ.
Who are those guys? When I first was reading that, I'm like, I'm not sure I get this. And then I'm like, oh, who are those guys? Okay. So that kind of – and have you done any competing this year?
This year we're kind of doing a limited schedule. We've cooked one contest. We have two more on the schedule. There might be a fourth one, but right now it looks like we're ending up doing three for the year. But we have one done and two more to do.
Well, and you're in the Annapolis area, and that's what brings us to what kind of got me to reach out to you. Being one of the contestants on American Grilled, I wanted to help do my part to promote it. And I thought since you had been on before, it'd be fun to have you on from a judge's perspective because you, and it's kind of funny. They never really said Danielle's name. They just called her Diva Q. And you actually said Diva, and I was like, oh, my God, he just called her Diva. You know, so it's you, Diva Q, and David Goss. And so tell me how did they approach you about that?
Well, I actually had applied. I saw the posting that they were looking for people to get involved, and I applied just through the normal process as a contestant at first, and went through the processes, and then at some point they notified me that they wanted me to come down and be a judge. So I don't really know how I got into from A to B, but I was happy to do either. And being a judge, quite honestly, was a different angle that I hadn't thought about, but I really enjoyed it once I got involved with it.
Yeah, because, I mean, basically, you're not there with any criteria other than whose do you like the best?
Yeah, you're exactly right. What did you like about it? We would talk amongst ourselves and that kind of thing, but, there wasn't a lot of not that KCBS has a whole lot of hard, fast rules, but there's certain things that you have to look for.
Right.
But in this case, and I would guess just because of the format, the food that they're cooking changing from city to city, it would be a little hard to have real hard, fast rules. So we're just kind of looking at the entire package for creativity and taste and that kind of thing.
Well, and, I thought it was interesting. They had Danielle Diva Q as a barbecue champion, and they had you just as a barbecue pitmaster. Did they, because they really didn't make it to air, that you were a competitor too?
No, because it was filmed in Annapolis and I was from Maryland, I think they kind of try to get a local guy.
Right.
It seems to be the format that they're going with the – the three judges. They have David, who's the host, and he travels around, and then the other judges are kind of interchangeable.
Well, and
I mean, that's my guess. I'm not involved in those decisions, but I'm just speculating.
No, and I think it was a good choice. Now, here's the funny thing. How many of them did you know from competition? Because I'm figuring two for sure, but I thought
I knew. Yes, I knew Eric and Dave, and Mike I knew a little bit from Facebook and that kind of thing, just from that barbecue world. And of course I knew Danielle from, we used to do an internet show, Huck's Hut, a couple of years ago. We were panelists there, her and I and a bunch of other people, but I've ran into her, at different places, competitions and conventions and that kind of thing. And we've become barbecue friends like a lot of people.
Well, so you didn't know Heath?
Heath, I'm sorry. What did I say? Eric. I knew Eric and Heath. I'm sorry.
Okay, and I actually thought you might have really known. I figured those two for sure, but I thought you might have actually known the other two guys.
Well, and the girl I didn't know, and as far as the contestants, the girl I didn't know, and Julie, right, and Mike, like I say, I knew him from Facebook and just from barbecue world in general, but I'd never met him in person.
You know, it's kind of funny. We see so many things through Facebook, and, I went to find somebody when I went to Evans, Georgia, and when I passed him, and I'm like, oh, I'm pretty sure that's who I'm looking for, but when I turned around, I go, you don't have any hair. And it was like, you're usually with a hat on. So the guy was without a hat, and I just thought there was hair underneath the hat. And then I was, so he saw me looking at him. He probably thought, what's this chick doing staring at me like this? Because I'm trying to go, is this in? So I said, hey, I know you're busy. Come back over. And he came over, and I said, sorry, man. I thought you had hair. We really get, so we think, we would know, like I would know you on the street, but I haven't met you in person. I would know you just from your picture and, now TV, I'm sure a lot of people know you. So from the judge's perspective, what's happened in your life that's been a little different since the airing of the show?
Oh, not really a whole lot. People, of course, friends and that kind of thing, and people that I know personally and friends on the computer kind of thing, you know, ribbing and you know, the good-natured fun that you have with something like that.
Right.
And it's you know, for me, the entire experience, including this part, it has been a lot of fun. I really had I had a good time with it. I was telling someone the other day, the hardest thing for me, knowing, and anybody that knows me wouldn't argue the fact, it was keeping my mouth shut since last September that I had been on the show and and that I was going to be on, you know, on the when it came on television. That was a challenge for me, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I mean, that, and were you guys filmed in September?
Yes. Yep.
I don't know when we were filmed, now that you're saying that. I just know the weather was bad. Your weather looked beautiful then.
Oh, we had a beautiful day. It was wonderful. It was even I don't know what, maybe the second week in September, but it was glorious, a glorious day. Especially, you know, the surroundings on the water and such.
Oh, yeah. I mean, because that was at the city basin, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep,
right, yeah, well, it was a beautiful location. The reason I ask if anything's changed, because it does put you as more of an expert, and it maybe puts your face in front of some people that forgot that you're out there.
Right. Yeah. I've been told my wife and the kids to stay off the phone to you in case a talent agent would call, but as of yet, we haven't fielded any calls, you know, from Hollywood or anybody. But I'm not ruling it out.
You're not ruling it out, okay? And now, just go back a second. You said that you and Danielle were on what kind of panel were you guys on?
There was it was a podcast, internet radio, whatever you call it, and it was called Huck's Hut. A guy out of Pennsylvania, him and his father would do. It was a weekly or monthly or it's hard to remember anymore. But we were would have some regulars on there, and then they'd bring guests in and that kind of thing. And we'd just chatter, you know, talk about barbecue. He'd have different topics he'd send around, and it was a lot of fun. She was doing it, I believe, before I got on board, and I think I did it for about a year, and it was fun.
Yeah, I don't remember seeing anything about that. So as you were judging, because what did you think about the creativity and how the format and stuff was opinion wise?
I liked the whole thing. It was exciting to be a part of it. I thought that all the contestants did a great job. You know, of course, the hardest part would be, trying to pick what was the best, and then inevitably who would have to go home from that round.
Right.
Because everybody, put such an effort forward, and you watched it from the when they were given the charged with whatever tasks they had, and you saw the challenges, and saw the whole thing come together. So that for me, that was the exciting part. I was pleasantly surprised at some of the things that were done with the different challenge items.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I would look at them when they would reveal them, and I would think, you know, how would I try to, you know, what would I do with that?
Right.
And those kind of things. But, overall, I thought everybody did a wonderful job with what they were given.
Yeah, and you guys didn't have any, so to say, controversy or anything. Were you guys actually the second show shot, George?
Now, that I don't remember. I don't really know.
Yeah, and you know, quite frankly, you may not have ever known. I just was curious. I know they kind of went in a pattern around the destinations. I just didn't know if you knew that for sure.
Right, right.
Yeah. Do you see a season two from the judges' stamp? Because I would love to know what you guys talked about and all that. And I know, yeah, I'm sure you're pretty shocked of how much you guys are talking and being filmed, and actually what makes it on the TV too.
Yeah, that. You know, for me, the whole experience was a learning experience, not so much on the judging end, but the,
right.
the, for the television end and all the production. And I was just,
continually amazed at what, you know, I've watched these shows for years, the cooking shows, barbecue shows, grilling shows. You know, like a lot of people in this game, I've watched these shows for years and years and continue to watch them. And I was just, myself personally, just, I guess I just never really put a whole lot of thought into how what's involved in putting something like that together. But I was just amazed at what I saw to be involved, and also I was impressed by the professionalism and the way that everybody that was involved in the process dealt with, you know, newbies like myself and you know, other people that were involved. I mean, Danielle, she does a lot of television. She, you know, she's very much familiar with it, but the rest of us, I would guess, you know, are in the same boat that I was kind of in, you know, a first timer. And it was just amazing to me to see and to be a part of something that large and involved, let's say. Yeah. And then, like you say, it was neat to see what eventually, you know, came out as a finished product and how they take something, you know. I mean, we take a piece of meat and we fiddle with it for a little while, and then we do some things with it, and we put it in, and we get it out and eat it. So somebody walks along that doesn't do that or doesn't eat a lot of barbecue, and they're floored. And, you know, we don't even want to eat it half the time after we get done cooking it because we're about done with it. But here you got, and it's the same thing. These people do this stuff every day, I suppose, right. And it's really nothing to them, I guess. It's their job. But, you know, for somebody that looks at it from the outside like I was, I guess I was like a kid in a candy store. I mean, you know, cords and cameras and buses and tents, and it was quite an operation.
Yeah. Now, you got a chance to chat with David a little more. He was, I would say, he was kind of kept from us. You know, what do you think, I don't know that you have any idea how they actually selected him, but what do you think about his job is that? I mean, I know he's a prestigious restaurateur.
Well, I think, I just met him, you know, in this process.
Mm-hmm.
I was impressed with the job that he did. I thought, you know, the way that he handled himself, he was, you know, kind of running the show and doing all the reveals and all that, and I just thought he was very prepared. I thought he did an excellent job. I thought he came across on television as somebody that was likable. I thought he did a good job. And the other thing, and we found out he likes to waterfowl hunt, and I like to waterfowl hunt, so we did have a common interest there that we chatted about. Which was cool. You know, anytime somebody has an interest in something that you're interested in, that's you have some common ground there. So we had some of that to chat about. But I think that being aside, I thought he did a good job. And you
he's
know,
a good
as far
fit.
As yeah, I kind of like the concept of when they jump around. You know, bringing in some you know, having the consistent face and then having some other. People, not that there's anything wrong with having regular judges go through the whole deal, but I just kind of like that concept, a little bit different, a little change up on it, and to me it's just a little refreshing.
Yeah, actually, you know, I don't mind saying that I would like his job next year, but
right.
You know, I think he's a good fit. And before Juliet will be the next guest, and before she gets on here, the one question I did have, and I just wonder if you guys did talk about it and it just didn't make the air, was there any concern about the live crab?
Not that I was aware of. I mean, I kind of when I was back in the early stages of you know, when I applied to be a contestant, in the back of my mind, I was thinking to myself that I'll bet you they're gonna throw a blue crab.
They had to.
So I kind of poked around, you know, and I'm talking about early in the process, poked around and was looking. Of course, I'd never really done much with a blue crab other than throwing it in a pot and steaming it kind of thing, which is how we do them here in Maryland.
Right.
But
you know, I was poking around and some trying to come up with some different ideas and methods and whatnot. But I thought, you know, what they did with the what they did with it was cool, and I just thought the whole thing was neat.
Yeah, I just wondered, and I. You knew it was going to have to be Blue Crab there somewhere, but I just wondered if anything got mentioned between you guys that because you had spectators there, didn't you, that weren't necessarily supposed to be there?
We didn't have the setup where we were kind of on a little, I don't want to say a peninsula, but there was a little point there where we were set up.
Oh.
The public could. There was a walkway around there that they could walk on. Was like a promenade, and they had people that they didn't want them standing there,
right?
Collecting. So they asked them. They had some signage there, but they had asked that they just keep moving through the area. So we as far as spectators in our filming, we didn't really have anybody that was standing around watching. You know,
well,
other than the production people.
Do you think that would be a welcome change to allow? I mean, obviously, then more people would know who was involved and who would win, but do you think that would be some kind of change that they would ever consider?
Well, I don't know. I don't know as far as the I don't know how it would work. I don't. Sometimes they see some of the shows where they have, like, a rope line and they have some people behind.
Yeah.
I've been behind that rope and watched some filming that goes on, and in my view, from back there, you don't really get a feel. It's kind of you know, you're kind of guessing what are they doing, what are they talking about, that kind of thing. I don't know if in the outside setting like that, how something like that would work. But I'm sure if somebody wanted to make it happen, it could be logistically they could make it work. But
oh yeah, easily, I'm sure. But. Yeah. Yeah, I was just curious, you know, like, again, it's interesting to have, I hadn't had any judges on it. Matter of fact, I hadn't talked to any judges about being on, so I was glad to get an opportunity to have you on since you'd been on before. Anything you want to leave us with, George?
Well, I just will say as far as it went with the American Grilled, I had a great time, and I enjoyed being a judge, and overall it was a great experience. And
well,
I apologize.
We were glad to see you on there.
I apologize to Julie for not remembering her name, but
oh.
but my memory today, it's I got too much. You know, I keep having to stick my fingers in my ear to hold everything in.
Well, if anybody wants to get a hold of your books, they can go to Amazon.com and put in George Hensler and Junior, right? Or no, the fourth, and they
yep.
can get your two books there on Amazon, right?
That's correct, and if you don't mind, I wouldn't mind plugging my barbecue team sponsors if I have 2 seconds.
Absolutely.
Thanks to the Barbecue Guru and
okay.
the Equipment Store, the makers of Fab Injections, Three Eyes Championship Barbecue Rub, Dizzy Pig Rubs, and Captain Tom's Hot Sauces. Thanks to those guys for everything they do for my team.
All right.
We really appreciate it, and I appreciate you having me on.
George, I'm glad to do it. I'm glad you could be with us, and good luck on your upcoming competitions. Thanks. Enjoyed watching you.
Okay.
All right, George. Thanks a lot.
Righto. Bye
okay,
now.
Okay, that's George Hensler. And who are those guys? Barbecue Team. And you can find his book, Totally Q, the one I have, and then also look on – I forgot to write down the other name there, but we're going to go right to our next guest. And Julie, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Okay, perfect. Yep, we've got Juliet or Julie Merrigan. And Julie was one of the contestants last week on American Grilled. And so I don't know how much you heard of George. So it was interesting to have George on from a judge's standpoint. But, you know, you were there battling the boys.
Yes, I was.
Now, you also have a competition team, right, Julie?
I do. We're very small, Two Little Piggies Barbecue, and I've actually competed against George a couple times.
Oh, you have?
Uh-huh. I actually competed against him at Green Lane just as following that this past May.
Oh, nice. Okay, so do you
uh-huh. No, we did not. We did not. We took last year off and came back, and we had some issues with our smoker, and didn't do so hot, but that's all right. We were out there to have a good time, and we did.
Absolutely. So before we get into talking a little bit about the actual competition, let's talk about how has your life changed? This is like can be the most bizarre thing for people.
Well, I would have to say it really has picked up our catering business. In October, I got my full-time job and became a full-time catering. And we, in the past week, have gotten slammed.
That's great. That's great.
Yeah, I think
when I talked to you the other, I talked to you Wednesday morning, and we were kind of set to make contact at 9 o'clock in the morning, and you said to me you had already like 6 phone calls for catering gigs.
I did. I had 6 calls for course already. I was like, oh, my goodness, well, this day never ends.
Yeah, that's amazing. And, you know, you're in a great area, great timing for the show to come out. So kudos to you guys. And you're doing it full time now, right?
I am, yep.
Do you have a regular crew, or are you doing it with your family? How's your business set up?
It's me and my husband full-time. I should say me full-time. He works a full-time job.
Uh-huh.
So it is basically me, and then I do have 2 girls that work for me part-time. They go on my servers and, do a lot of the dirty work when we're at a catering job. But the cooking,
the dirty
that's
work.
All me. The dirty work.
The dirty work.
The dirty work. The stuff that I don't want to have to do at a catering job.
I know those dirty work jobs too. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about the competition. You know, you're in your first round. You got the 3 boys, and you get beaten biscuits. Did you even know what they were?
I did. I actually did. My grandparents lived in Crisfield, Maryland, and almost all of my life. So I spent my summers there, and my grandmother actually used to give us beaten biscuits to teeth on.
Oh. And they really
so
are
I'm,
like hockey pucks.
Oh, yeah, they are, totally.
But you handled yours very well.
Well, I knew I had to get some kind of moisture in there and some kind of taste, because they are tasteless, flavorless little things. So, and I didn't want to do a slider. I kind of looked at it as I had to think outside the box. They weren't looking for, you know, low and slow. They're looking for hot and fast. They're looking for what you can do on a grill. And I can be pretty imaginative. So I didn't want to just do a slider. I didn't want to do something that, you know, everybody else was going to do. And so I really went outside of the box.
Yeah, you did. And, you know, really, you and Heath were neck and neck, I think, in that round for creativity. And yours was based on what you did with the bread.
Oh, yeah. And honestly, I really shocked the heck out of them with using the strawberries. And actually, it was strawberries and raspberries in the glaze.
Oh, it was?
It was strawberries and raspberries. And I really blew their minds on that one. They did not know what the heck I was doing with that.
Yeah, because they're like, she's lost her mind. But you know what? You almost, and I know you were concerned about overcooking them, and you know, I think George actually said that he had some inconsistency on his, but it looked like what you actually did was caramelize the sweetness or the sugars onto the sausage. Is that accurate?
Yeah. That's exactly what I did.
So are you going to start making and having Heath bottle that?
You know, I would love to. I just got to get past this part of my life right now.
No, that's great. You and Heath did an amazing job with that. And I think it was just in, you know, transforming the biscuit part of it because, you know, the other guys did, I mean, I'm not taking anything away from them, but the other guys did what, you know, you would were the obvious.
Right, and that's kind of what I didn't want to do. That was, like, my biggest thing. I was like, all right, these judges, you know, and honestly, as soon as I saw Danielle walk out, I was like, oh. I was like, all right, I got to give her something good. So I was really thinking outside of the box.
Did you not know in advance that Danielle and George would be the judges?
No. I had no clue until they walked out when they presented the judges to us in the morning is when I found out.
But did you know who both of those, I mean, you knew who Daniel was. Did you know
who
George was?
Oh, yeah, I knew who Daniel was, and I knew who George was. I knew who both of them were.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a little different than cooking for somebody that you don't have a clue who they are. I don't know if you realized who David was. I mean, one of the guys that I competed with knew that he was on Chopped, you know, and that he had, I knew he had restaurants and that he had competed. I didn't remember he was on Chopped. So, yeah, to actually cook for people who you knew who they were, that had to probably be a little bit of a mind game.
Oh, yeah, it was. And I knew who David was, too, because I watched Chopped religiously. So, and I knew that, you know, and I've actually eaten at one of his restaurants.
Okay.
So, you know, I knew who he was. But I'll be honest with you, I wasn't as intimidated, you know, cooking for him as when Daniel walked out. It was kind of that woman-on-woman thing. I was like, holy crap, it's Daniel. So it was kind of that, you know, knowing that I, honestly, my biggest thing was I needed to impress her.
Well, yeah, nothing like putting extra pressure on yourself for that. Now,
oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Okay, so you guys were in the Annapolis area. You grew up in the area. Actually, all of you guys were from the area because they didn't pull anybody from outside the area, did they?
Well, I'm actually, I live about 4.5 hours outside of there.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, I'm actually outside of Philadelphia.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm outside of Philadelphia, but like I said, I summered there since before I could walk. But yeah, I grew up in outside of Philadelphia, and that's where I still live.
Okay. Now, if you're, are you going to do any competitions this year, or the catering's going to kind of take over your world?
We are actually done for this year. We did two, and actually, we ended up only being able to do one. Because I had a catering job come up that I just couldn't turn away.
Right.
But we are kind of done for this year and hoping that with the catering picking up that we can actually kind of sprout off a little bit more and do some more competitions next year. We're in the process of possibly buying a new smoker. I have an old-fashioned stick burner, and it gets a little tiresome. So we are in the process of buying a new smoker, and I think once we do that, I think it'll make competition a little bit easier for us.
What are you looking at?
I'll be honest with you, right now I'm looking at a stump.
Oh, and, you know, everybody that knows stump, they make a beautiful product. I've owned two of them. You know, I don't think there's anybody who can say anything negative about them. They're great, and they would make your life easier, but it's still hard to beat what you get on a finished product on a stick burner.
You know, I agree, and that's kind of where we're kind of in disagreement between my husband and I. I want a stump for the catering company, but honestly, I want a Jambo for competition. It seems like right now you get one or the other.
Yeah. Nothing like going big, going from a offset. That did somebody make your offset? Because I saw you got a pretty good size one.
Yeah, we actually bought it off of eBay and then had some modifications done to it.
Okay. Well, you know, it's funny. I had a catering gig that was coming up, and I needed a big grill, and I literally went and found one. I mean, that's kind of like your deal. I went and found one and then made my modifications afterwards and then ordered what I wanted type of deal. So, yeah, it's funny when you have to have something for to get you through. But, yeah, you're going from that to a Jambo. You, yeah, one at a time now, Julie.
I know. That's what he says, too.
No, that's great.
Oh, go ahead. We'll still keep the big smoker only because I'm the only one in the area that can do a pig over 200 pounds. You know, we've actually had a 250-pound pig on our smoker.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's kind of a nice thing to offer with the catering company, especially in this area.
Yep.
So I'll still keep the beast in the backyard, but
yep.
I do need something else.
Yeah, you know, I actually tried to work with some of the other catering companies to do pigs for them because nobody else had the ability around. So, yeah, it helps distinguish and maybe give you a little something extra. Okay, so let's go on to the second round because I'm going to have Heath talking about the second round too, which is the butcher's choice. and you guys actually had pasture chicken there. It's quite a bit leaner, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, and it's fought me the whole way. But, I mean, it's a very lean chicken, so I kind of was really afraid to overcook it, honestly. I mean, even in the short, the short amount of time we had, I decided to actually completely take it apart. I took it down. I took the breast. I deboned the breast. And then I did the thighs and legs together. But I was really worried about overcooking it because of how lean it was.
Yeah. Yeah. But you guys were able to get your oh, and I just also wanted to say, in that first round where they're doing, it seems like they're doing gas only in the first round, that didn't seem to affect any of you guys.
No, and honestly, I kind of have an upper hand. I have that grill in my backyard.
Oh, you do?
And I've had it for 2 years, yeah.
Well, you know what? I wonder how many other people throughout the show have it because, you know, I consider those like a hybrid. I don't know what they actually call them.
That's what I call it, too.
Oh, okay. So going to gas only, but it didn't really seem to be a deal for any of you guys, was it, that you
no,
know about the other guys?
No, I think we all kind of handled it really well. I think we kind of all, were like, okay, this is what we got, this is what we're going to work with, and, let's move on. And I think, we all handled it really well.
I can't believe you have that girl in the backyard.
I do.
Now,
When I saw it, they were they walked me through it and they show it to you, and I looked it up. I was like, that's not a problem. I could do this. I got this girl at home. They're like, no. I'm like, yep.
No, that's pretty good. I have to tell you, I actually, I don't know what, I had some kind of post on Facebook regarding the show, and somebody really just beat that grill up verbally. And, I don't take anything out. If somebody has an opinion, it's like buttholes, everybody has one. So, if somebody wants to make an opinion, I kind of let them do their thing, and I get it, but they were like ticked off, and as far as I know, they didn't go to China and buy them. They bought them from an American company because they didn't have any sponsors, and this is my opportunity to mention that. I'm guessing that's probably purchased at Lowe's, wasn't it?
Theirs is like the one I have. I actually Charbroil makes. Masterbuilt makes one, and that's what mine is the Masterbuilt. So it's so an American company does make it, but I did see that post, and I was kind of bit my tongue, and everybody needs to have their own opinion and everything else like that. But it's kind of hard when you have the brand new show, they don't have a sponsor, so. You can't knock that they have because, first of all, I'm sorry, you weren't there to do it either. So
yeah, it was a way to get started, and actually, it was interesting. I think they were smart to have it one time limited with gas because that still, even though as a low and slow cooker, the majority of people in the U.S. have gas grills.
Oh yeah, I have three of them.
Yeah,
I have three gas grills and I have four smokers.
Yeah,
I think I would say probably 90% of the United States population has a gas grill in their backyard.
Yeah, yeah, it's just convenient because they haven't been turned on to pellet cookers and other things that are just as convenient. But a lot of people don't take time to do the charcoal, and they haven't been turned on to lump charcoal, which pretty quick too. Yeah, so with the pasture chicken, you make it into round two. You had artichokes, which seemed to be the big problem
downfall
for everybody. Yeah, yeah. So why don't you talk a little bit about
downfall.
What's that?
I said they were my downfall.
I think they were everybody's downfall. Nobody did them true justice except maybe Eric. I don't know. What do you think?
I would have to agree. I mean, I think Keith and I were just, when I saw the artichokes, I just looked at you. He looked at me. I was like, "This is it. We're done. I'm out. I can't help you from here because I have absolutely no idea how to cook these. I get my artichokes out of a jar."
I actually love that comment. because it's not a really good grilling vegetable because it takes so long.
It does.
Yeah.
You know, so I just thought, okay, well, I'm going to try, and maybe if I, you know, give them something else and kind of hopefully hide the artichoke in it a little bit, and it'd work out, but it didn't work out very well.
Yeah, they saw through you, didn't they?
Yes, they did. They did. So she really, really, really enjoyed my Brussels sprouts. She just didn't have any artichoke on the plate, unfortunately.
Yeah, and that's tough unless you kept them separate and made sure everybody got some. But you did try to serve the oysters how we cook them in Florida, you know, quite often, where they just pop. Then I guess, you know, David got one that was dry. And whether you knocked it out or it got knocked out, you were taking it down to the wire on that.
Oh, yeah, because I didn't, I mean, you know as well as I do, if you have an oyster on, you know, even on the grill for more than, like, 2 or 3 minutes, you're taking out all of the liquor from it.
Right,
and
right.
I really wanted to have that liquor in there, and unfortunately, like David's was, the liquor did spill out, and, you know, so it did dry it out a little bit, so, I can't say anything. Heath oysters were freaking phenomenal.
Yeah, they looked beautiful. They really did look beautiful. I mean,
oh yeah,
he was kind of the spice guy of your group, using extra sauces and stuff. And yeah, they looked beautiful. And once, let's face it, once he broke out bacon, you guys were done with your oysters.
Oh yeah, we were done. Oh yes, we were done. We were done. At that point, I was like, all right, yeah, I'm going home. That's all right. I had a lot of fun, so.
Yeah, well, and that's absolutely the whole deal. So you were out on the second round, but, I mean, overall your experience was great.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And what would you like to be doing besides catering full-time?
You know, honestly, I've had a conversation with another competitor at one point or another, and I honestly would love to compete full-time. It is something that I am working on, trying to get some sponsors and being able to pull together a full competition team and compete, you know, honestly nationwide is what I would really like to do.
Yeah.
A lot of work, a lot of, you know, I thought putting the catering company together was a lot of work, you know, with the business plans and stuff like that, and putting together a full-time barbecue competition team has been even more work. So I'm hoping in maybe 2 years that we can pull it off, and, you know, and that's what I can do.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you currently have sponsors, or is that just something new to you?
Honestly, it's something new to me. I've only done maybe 2 or 3 competitions a year since we started 5 years ago. And they've all been really local competitions. I did compete in Wildwood Barbecue Competition in 2011, and I actually took Best for Sauce.
And that was last weekend.
That last weekend was this year's. In 2011, I took Best Sauce.
Yeah.
And after that is when it was funny because after that I actually started getting phone calls for catering because people had been down there, had heard that I had won, and wanted to try our sauce.
Yeah, that's a big contest.
Oh, yeah, it was huge, and I had such a blast.
Yeah.
But, no, having sponsors is something that is new to us, and it seems to be really hard in this area. That's why we're starting to reach out a little bit further, and I'm hoping that, you know, being on this show maybe will help out a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the exposure you basically can't pay for, and, you know, you didn't make a lot of money doing it. Oh, wait, you made $300 maybe if you had that much in expenses. And
exactly,
you were,
that is.
Yeah, so I mean, you know, but the exposure is priceless as well as the overall experience with it. When you look back and you're watching it, what do you find to be the funniest thing about how much time is put in there to what actually is shown on the TV?
Oh, it kills me. I mean, it kills me because, I mean, you doing it, you know how your day went, and it's like, wow, that's all they took out of that? Okay, not a problem. That and what was coming out of my mouth, because honestly, half that stuff, I don't even remember saying.
Well, and you know, you got to wonder sometime if they take two sentences and make a whole sentence.
Like, I don't remember saying crud that many times. I mean, I remember saying a couple other choice words a couple times, but I don't remember saying crud that many times.
Yeah, I don't think any of you guys got bleeped.
Huh?
You didn't. None of you guys got bleeped.
No, none of us got bleeped, but I know there's places that they didn't put the take in completely because there was quite a few choice words that I had at one point.
Oh. Your day looked beautiful, which is what George and I were talking about, too, because being on the water like that, you guys were able to get your grills to temperature pretty easily, it looked like.
Oh, yeah. It had no issues whatsoever. You know, the day was absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah. Yeah, that's amazing. When did you guys film, on a weekend or during the middle of the week?
It was, I think it was a Friday.
Friday. Yeah, so a little bit busier there than, say, you were in the middle of the week.
Yeah, I think it was, but I know that, I know that there was football was going on because we actually, the next day, we went down to Annapolis. We went to Annapolis for the football, to watch the football practice.
Oh,
So that's my son's dream is to go to Annapolis. We have friends that graduated from there. So that's my son's dream. So we went and toured the campus and all when we were down there.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So, and I know after, when I left to go back to the hotel, the dock was starting to get very busy at that point. Like, during the day, there was a school group at one time that was down there while we were filming. I know it was pretty busy, with the foot traffic going back and forth.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, because you were right there where the boats and everything were coming. I mean, it was looked like a beautiful location.
Oh, it's absolutely gorgeous. And, man, some of those boats, I just looked at them like, oh, that's 5-year salary right there sitting there. But that's not.
No, you have to look at it like that's 3 stumps and 2 jambos. No.
Exactly.
I know, isn't that sad? That's how we look at things. You start comparing them to the prices of cookers. You did a great job. Had you applied for any other of the competitions that go on?
Honestly, this is my first one I've ever applied for.
Really?
Yeah, and I've learned a lot since then about different competitions, grilling competitions and things like that are going to be on my radar coming up. That was the first competition show I had ever applied for.
Yeah. Well, you got lucky then to get on the first time, and be able to show what you guys could do. I did think it was nice that you guys had, including the last round, that you had different meets in every round, because I thought it was interesting that last 2 weeks ago, Tiny's episode, that they actually had bison and beef, which is basically the same thing, only leaner, in the same competition.
Yeah, I was kind of, it was kind of weird, and how they had, we didn't even have beer or anything was as part of our, as part of our ingredients. We had actual ingredients, which was nice. It was, when they showed that beer in the last one, I was like, oh, I'm kind of glad I didn't get that. I mean, we had beer there. They had beer for us to have. But I was like, oh, I'm glad I didn't get that one.
Yeah. Well, Julie, anything you want to leave us with other than you're looking for sponsors too?
No, honestly, I had a blast, and thank you so much for having me on.
Well, I'm glad you could be on. He's coming up next. He'll talk about that second round that he was involved with and the final round with Eric. But you did a great job, and really enjoyed watching all of you.
Thank you so much. And believe me, it was so much fun to grill against those guys.
All right. Well, we'll be looking for you in the future, girl.
All right. Have a good one.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So that's Julie Meringer, and she is one of the contestants from last week on American Grilled, and we're going to go to our next guest. And Heath, are you there?
I'm here. How's it going?
Great. You sound perfect. I can hear you really good. We've got Heath Hall with us from Pork Barrel Barbecue and the winner of Annapolis Grillmaster.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thanks for having me. It was great to be on the show. It was a lot of fun. I just kind of heard the end there of Julie, and it was great competing against her and against Mike and Eric as well.
Yeah, you guys seemed very well paired or, you know, lined up with each other.
Yeah, I think that, and I'm assuming this is the way for a lot of the shows, since they're doing them by regions and, you know,
uh-huh.
cities. You know, some of us have competed against each other. You know, Eric was very successful with Three Eyes Barbecue, which is one of the top teams in the country, and then now he's cooking on his own team, Barbecue and Beyond. And so I've known Eric for quite some while. Same with Mike Hedrick. I actually met Mike Hedrick at the very first barbecue competition I ever cooked in 2009.
Oh, really?
And these were – Julie was actually the only one that I hadn't really formally met. I knew of her and her team, but I'd never really formally met her. So two of the other three contestants I have had, you know, a multiple-year relationship with knowing them.
Yeah. Well, I figured you would definitely have known Eric, and I was – like I told Julie, I figured you guys probably – knew each other, everybody. But did you know Danielle and George?
I do, yeah. I've known George for a couple of years. He cooks on a competition team, Who Are Those Guys, out
yeah.
here. So we see him at a lot of the same contests that we cooked. And then I've known Diva Q for 3 or 4 years from cooking some of the bigger contests, the American Royal, the Jack Daniels. I've cooked up in New York a couple times when she's been there. And she actually was just down here in the D.C. area in June at a competition. So, you know, it's kind of one of those big organizations, you know, with people all over the country when you talk about barbecue, but it sometimes is a real small family because, you know, you get to know people and have these contests. You know, everyone's a competitor, but everyone first and foremost are just friends.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. So let's briefly chat about the first round, and I had mentioned to Julie, you know, you putting those sea biscuits, the beaten biscuits. You putting that into the pesto was genius.
Well, thanks. You know, I had two moments on the show where I saw ingredients that I was like, how do I make these things disappear? One was the beaten biscuits, and one was the
sardines.
Final round.
Yep.
And,
killed that, too, by the way.
Thank you. Yeah, I knew. You know, obviously, I had to include them in the dish. They were one of the kind of the key secret ingredients that were presented to us. But I don't know if you've ever tasted one of these beaten biscuits. They are about as flavorless as, you know, just putting flour in your mouth.
Yeah.
They're super hard, and I was just kind of thinking, you know, as I was sitting there, you know, how do I get rid of these? It just kind of popped into my head, you know, in the larder they had some nice basil and a few other ingredients. I thought, you know, this could be a good substitute for the pine nuts and make a nice pesto and then do kind of a play off of kind of a bruschetta, and it's a nice local heirloom cherry tomatoes, and so I made the little cherry tomato compote and grilled off the sausage. And I felt, you know, when I saw that the other three guys and Julie had done something with the actual, you know, more kind of, even though Julie incorporated hers into a hash, it was still more of the bread was still there. I was thinking, okay, if the judges don't like these as much as I think all the contestants don't, I feel pretty good that I've eliminated the one thing in this category is kind of a challenge, and
yeah.
They all seem to like it. George, I think, thought I had a little too much garlic in there. You know, that's one of the challenges in these contests. Everyone has different taste profiles. I love garlic. I mean, I'll never be caught by a vampire because I probably always have garlic in my blood. But I probably, you know, for someone who's not as big of a garlic fan, I could see where George is coming from. But, you know, I think David and Danielle both really enjoyed the pesto. And I think that other than it being a little garlicky maybe for George, I think he thought it was pretty good too.
Yeah, I do too. And, you know, here's the thing, because as he was saying that, I was thinking to myself, you know, the judges have to be willing to eat everything that they were going to give you.
Mm-hmm.
But that other stuff, like garlic, you know, I'm not a big garlic eater, but I'll make it for anybody. And I could see where if, you know, he must not eat pesto on a regular, I mean, I don't eat it, but I'll fix it and make it for my honey. You know, he likes it. So that's the challenge in one of these deals. But it was genius. I did like that David said the texture was interesting because you definitely pulverized it down. So, you know, sausage was one of those things that everybody kind of did the same. There's not much you can do with it unless you totally went in a different direction. But, yeah, yours, I thought the first round you kind of had that hands down.
Yeah, you know, one of the there were two things I really wanted to do on the show is, one, you know, I didn't want to embarrass myself.
Yeah.
Because, you know, obviously I didn't want to come off looking like, oh, this guy doesn't know what know how to cook,
right,
or anything like that. But two, I didn't really want to play it too safe. I wanted to show my creativity,
right,
you know, show some thinking outside of the box, you know, not do, you know, maybe the obvious thing. And I felt like I really was able to accomplish that in that first round, do something
yeah.
Obviously we had a lot more interaction with the judges than they show on TV when they cut it down. And, you know, some of the comments from the judges didn't make it on the show were, you know, that was, I wouldn't have thought of that. That was something that was outside of the box, and, you know, that's something that we're really looking for. And
yeah.
So I felt pretty good about that.
Yeah, the tomato chutney was, or I think you called it a chutney, and then I think you called it a compote because of the way maybe it broke down, but that looked beautiful too.
Thanks, yeah. They had some really nice fresh produce. One of the cooler
yeah.
things about the show, and one of the things I'm really looking forward to watching as the show goes forward, is that they're really making an effort to find local ingredients that are both unique to the area, like the beaten biscuit, but also things that are not necessarily unique to the area, but are from farmers in the area, so whatever
yeah.
is seasonal and local. And, you know, we were lucky enough to film last September. They filmed 3 episodes, kind of, I think, as a test to show the Travel Channel, and the Travel Channel picked up 10 more episodes. For a total package of 13, but I think, you know, we were very lucky to kind of be right in that heat of when all the great produce is coming out of the farms here on the East Coast in that, you know, August, September time frame. So we had a lot
yeah.
of great
yeah.
produce to work with.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, okay, so you finish round one. We lose Mike in that round. And, you know, I kind of said Eric and Mike played it extremely safe. You know, Julie doing that stuffing, I thought
yeah.
that was a great way to do what you can to save that.
Definitely.
So you guys move on to the second round, and we were talking about pasture chicken. You know, I didn't realize that you were the 2009 Purdue Chicken Man.
2011,
okay, sorry.
And we just won it again last month in D.C. at the Safeway National Barbecue Battle. Purdue Chicken has their National Chicken Trophy, and we were fortunate enough to win it second time in the last four years.
Now, Heath, what does that entail? Because is that a separate contest, or is it just your overall chicken ranking?
So it's at the Safeway Barbecue Battle. So it's, you know, they give you 3 whole chickens, and you can turn in however you want to turn it in. You know, it's during a Kansas City Barbecue Society competition.
Right.
But they give you whole chickens, and you got to, if you can butcher them down to thighs, you can butcher them to quarters, whatever you want to turn in, legs, breast meat, chopped, you know, whatever will fit in the box. And, you know, we were on a real good tear a couple of years ago with chicken. Chicken was our tops, for sure, from probably 2011 and 12. And then last year, we just kind of went south on chicken for some reason. And so over the last few months, I've been really playing around with some new chicken recipes, and I think we finally got one that I'm happy with, and the judges have been happy with it so far.
And what did you do, you know, just sidetracking here, what did you actually turn in for the overall?
We turned in thighs. Overall for the Purdue, yeah.
Oh,
you
did?
You know, that's what we cook, you know, the most every year in a competition.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you kind of stick, you know, with what you know has worked in the past at contests, and so that's kind of where we went with that was what are the judges expecting, you know, what do they normally see, and what's worked for us.
Well, that's great, and congratulations. I didn't realize that you did win that again. Matt Barber out of the Florida area, Hot Wachula, that was one of his mm-hmm. bucket list, and we were actually with you in Evans. And
Evans,
Matt
yeah.
Was, yeah, it was me, you, and Johnny Trigg and Matt won pork. But that was on his bucket list to do that Safeway, and the only thing I remember seeing for the follow-up was that it took you guys, I mean, that's an interesting contest because it's on Pennsylvania Avenue in the surrounding Alphabet area there. But, you know, he didn't have power till late that next day.
No, it's a crazy competition.
You
load in on Friday night. You know, I mean, it's right down in the heart of D.C. and, you know, an hour, 2 hours before you load in, there's 50,000 vehicles coming in and out trying to get out of town. So they can't set it up, you know, like a normal contest where you show up sometime Friday morning, early afternoon. You usually don't get in until 10, 11, 12 o'clock at night.
Wow.
And they're still laying all, you know, the first thing they try to put up is the fence around the area, and then they eventually run the electric. I think they had electric up around 4 a.m. on Saturday morning for everybody. Of course, the thing, you know, if people are listening to normal KCVS folks, the timing is a lot different, so
yeah. It's
not like you're getting your electric at 4 and you have to have your chicken and turn in at noon. The turn-in times are at 6 o'clock and 6:30 on Saturday. It's chicken at 6, brisket at 6:30. And then on Sunday, you turn in ribs at noon and pork at 12:30.
Yeah, that's
so
a whole
it's a weird competition.
Content.
Yeah. Yeah, it's more relaxed, I think, than any contest, which can be good and bad because you're totally off your normal schedule, so you really have to be thinking. But it's more relaxed because you're only cooking two meats at one time. And we've been fortunate to have a lot of success there. The last 4 years, we've taken GC twice and reserve once. So
we're
and the great thing, the exciting thing about it, if you win GC at that competition, it's an auto to the Jack because it's the only contest in D.C. So, yeah. So we'll be heading to the Jack again in October thanks to winning that again this year.
Wow, that's great. I didn't realize that was an automatic. That's amazing. Congratulations on that, too. So, and of course, I'm going to comment that, you know, you have a very recognizable Jambo with your patriotic paint job on it, which is it's beautiful. And I think
thank
people, because actually, I didn't know you were cooking Evans. And when I was walking around doing my little interviews on Friday night, I'm like, I know that's Heath Hall's cooker, you know. And I'm like, well, where is he? But you didn't have anything in your booth area to really designate that it was you, so you were incognito that night.
Yeah, we were. I think when you came by, my wife and I had headed out for dinner that night. But yeah, no, the Shark, who's the guy that paints the Jambos for Jamie down there in Texas, did just a remarkable job for us. We're couldn't have imagined it turning out even, you know, nearly as good as it did. And it's something that we are really proud of. You know, we're from here in D.C., we're both, you know, Brett and I are incredibly patriotic. We're huge supporters of the men and women in the military, and to be able to have that pit and do some things, you know, hey, America is still the best type thing is kind of what we're trying to do. And it does turn a lot of heads, gets a lot of photos taken, and it's a fun conversation starter.
Yeah, it's a beautiful piece of equipment, that's for sure. So let's go back to your second round. And, I mean, let's face it, you guys all had trouble with the artichokes, but you made them happy with the oyster. So why don't you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, well, I thought this was the toughest round. You know, to have to cook two whole chickens in a 40-minute time frame, you know, and it was really less than 40 minutes because you just, you know, go, and that's the clock starts. You have to run over and pick up the chicken. You got to, you know, prepare it however you're going to prepare it. I knew I needed to spatchcock it to even have a chance of cooking the thing as well as I needed to. then, you know, I wanted to make a spice rub. So by the time I actually got the chicken on the grill, I had about 32 minutes. And I was like, man, I just was praying, fingers crossed. So I got that on there. And then I turned to these artichokes. And I'm not much of an artichoke eater. And I've never really cooked with them, certainly never cooked them on the grill. I kind of knew how to prepare them, you know, to trim the outside and to get the insides cleaned out and all that. And I just simple prep, dill, olive oil, salt and pepper. And then one of the things they didn't really show on the show was I made a burnt orange vinaigrette that I poured over it. That was what was going to be my, you know, real flavor. If you watch the show and you see me pouring a sauce over the chicken, that's some of that vinaigrette at the end. But so I just kind of let that go. I had no idea, you know, am I going to get this cooked or not? And then I turned to oysters, and I wanted to do something that was going to be a little bit more complex than just present. You know, I mean, in my opinion, you can't really go wrong with just cracking the oyster and having it on the half shell.
Right.
But I knew that wasn't going to be very impressive. And so I wanted to really do something that was going to be kind of bold and elevate the oyster to the next level. And so I made this scampi butter sauce, and I grilled off some bacon. So I shucked the oysters, you know, left the beautiful oyster liqueur in there with the meat. I put about a tablespoon of this scampi butter on top of the oyster, and then I put some crumbled bacon, threw it in the back on the grill, let it cook for about 90 seconds or so, and right before the clock was about to expire, put them on the board, and the oysters. Yeah, I think the chicken, it ended up being really moist and juicy, so I think I did good on the chicken. And then I think I, you know, really excelled on the oyster. They seem to really like the flavor profile. But and I think, you know, fortunately I had those two high points because I really did not accomplish what I was going for with the artichokes.
Yeah, that was definitely the downfall of that round for everybody, really. I mean, it looked like Eric was the most successful with it, but even then it wasn't hugely successful, you know. But were you worried about using the scampi butter when George had just said it was a little too garlicky? Because that's the first thing I thought about. I go, I wonder what George is going to think. But he was digging the bacon, so.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, the first rule of eating is bacon makes everything better. I figured if I put bacon on, you know, if I just serve them shoe rubber with bacon, they might like it. But, you know, it really didn't come to my mind. What I was trying to cook there was something that I liked and thought that was going to elevate the ingredients. I knew I had David there, who's a very successful chef. So I figured that he would be, you know, hopefully impressed with my technique, hopefully impressed with the flavor profiles. And I was really wanting to try to bring all those things together. That's why I made this burnt orange vinaigrette. Get a little acidity, a little citrus in there. And, I was hoping that he would do that. I know that DivaQ, although not, you know, a trained chef or owner of a restaurant, is a very accomplished cook in her own right. And I thought she would also see that. Although George is the person I probably knew best because I see him, you know, 5, 6, 7 times during the summer at competitions, I really didn't know too much about his eating, you know, preferences. And I knew probably from a barbecue standpoint, if I was doing a competition style product, what he might like and look for, but not kind of the more elevated grilling that I was trying to do. And, you know, I was just hopeful that he would like it. You know, I felt like the rub I made for the chicken was pretty traditional rub.
Mm-hmm.
But I, again, elevated it kind of with, instead of just a barbecue sauce, I made this orange vinaigrette, I think that worked real well. But, yeah, you know, you never know. I mean, we do demos and stuff in grocery stores all the time with our sauces, and it's so funny. You can have 100 people try one of your sauces, and they'll each have 100 different comments about it. know, too hot. You know, one person can try one, be like, this is too spicy, and the next person is like, do you have anything hotter because this is too sweet? It's the exact same sauce. So, you know, people are so unique and particular about their food that I think in a contest like that, you got to go with what you're comfortable with and
absolutely.
What you think you can turn out the best.
Yeah, absolutely. The one thing I thought on the chicken, you guys all went for different rubs, and I actually meant to ask Julie about this because he had said that the flavors didn't go in so much, and I wondered, you know, immediately Diva Q didn't like five spice, you know, so she was watching that, but also sometimes that, because it makes the skin so crispy, it doesn't allow it to penetrate into the just that nature of those spices sometimes won't allow the spices to penetrate into the skin. So it was interesting. You guys, I mean, there wasn't much you were going to be able to do with it, especially in that amount of time, but I'm impressed you guys all got it cooked.
Yeah, like I really do think it was the toughest component of the three rounds. Yeah, I mean, being able to cook two whole chickens in really about a half an hour is not something that you really want to do.
If you had any wind issues, you guys would not have made it because your temperatures would have been bad on your grills. So, I mean, the perfect day helped you guys a lot.
Yeah, no, those grills are not the kind of grills that I'm used to. None of us were used to working on. So that was another thing. You really didn't know, you know, the grill. I mean, at that point, we had cooked on just the gas portion of it for 20 minutes. And so we really didn't know. You know, how was it going to hold heat? How hot was it going to get? You know, you could elevate the grill in there a little bit, and you weren't really 100% sure how that was going to affect it. So it was, you know, you're used to cooking on something like a Jambo that is not going to let you down. You know, it's kind of like you're spoiled, and all of a sudden you're like, I gotta figure this out. So it was a challenge. What I wanted to do was I wanted to get a nice crust on that skin first, and so I put it over pretty high flame for a couple minutes, and then I wanted to just, you know, set it to the side, and I just turned up the heat, not direct, like an indirect heat, to really try almost like you were baking it to an extent, because you just really, you know, the last thing you want to do is give someone raw chicken. I mean, you can cook a steak raw and no one's going to be hurt. You can, you know, cook an artichoke raw and no one's going to be hurt. But you do not want to hand someone a piece of chicken and they cut into it and find a lot of blood and redness in there.
Yep, because that's how you find a DQ in any other contest. But speaking of not knowing how long the heat would last, let's go to the last round. You really got caught off guard with last round, so now you have got the tomahawk steak, you've got sardines, which, again, there was your genius, the blue crab, and you had something else. What am I missing?
And the muskmelon.
Oh, yeah, you guys had muskmelon. Yeah, so getting rid of the sardines immediately was a great play on that, and especially with the coffee, you know, beautiful. And it was yours tended to look a little rarer than from the pictures on TV. Let me just ask you this. Yours was more rare to medium rather than, you know, medium backwards. But it looked like Eric's was more medium than close to well done, like Danielle said. What was it in real life?
Well, I mean, it was hard to tell from where we were standing. With the steak, the challenge there was they gave us four steaks, so we couldn't really taste them, you know, because we had to present them with – we had to do four plates for everything. We had the three plates for the judges, and then the fourth plate was for their, you know, beauty shots of the food. And so, you know, it wasn't like we could just chop off a section of the steak and taste it. So, it was really more by look and feel, you know, on the doneness. And I think, the first thing, the steaks were absolutely the most gorgeous pieces of beef I've ever seen in my life.
They looked beautiful.
They were, I almost thought about just asking if I could just you know, disqualify myself and take the four steaks home and consider myself
yeah,
a winner.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, they were that gorgeous. I mean,
okay,
I never had the fortune. Yeah, man, they were beautiful. And so, you know, I knew, okay, we've got a really, really nice piece of meat here. And, you know, it's tough when you're thinking, again, about how to prepare a steak.
Right.
Because there are people that, you know, like it from rare all the way to well done. I knew
yeah.
well done was not, you know, not in the what anything I wanted to come close to with this steak. And so I kind of started thinking of medium is kind of in the middle. And then I walked myself back thinking, you know, about the people up there. I figured
yep.
that David, as a chef, you know, is probably a guy that orders his steaks, you know, in that medium-rare range.
Yeah. Baseball.
DVQ, I actually, you know, I think, you know, DVQ has, having had the benefit of watching some of her barbecue shows and hear her talk about stuff, I figured that she was probably in a similar range. So, again, I'm stuck on George here, where I have no idea if George is a guy who likes his steak, you know, 5 seconds off the cow, or if he likes
yeah.
to cook, you know, 100 hours. So, again, I went back to myself that I know 2 out of the 3, so I'm going to try to cook it to 2 out of the 3. At least you know,
yeah.
I assumed I knew 2 of the 3. And with those sardines, again, I was like, man, I've got 3 beautiful things there. I've got these beautiful blue crabs, I've got these beautiful steaks, and I've got these really nice-looking musk melons. And then I've got these horrendous, you know, canned sardines that were super, you know, I opened the thing up, I tasted one, it was super salty, super fishy. And so my first thought was, okay, seasoning the steak, you know, I want to do something fairly simple that's going to highlight the beef and not overpower it. And I first was thinking just a simple kind of salt and pepper crust, maybe a little bit of garlic powder in there. And then I started thinking, you know, these sardines are salty.
Yeah.
I can get rid of the sardines and use that as my salt element. And so I went over to the larder and I saw some coffee over there. And I thought to myself, you know, this coffee, you know, coffee and beef go together well.
Yeah.
Coffee has a pretty bold flavor, which hopefully will mask any of the fishiness in the sardines. And that I put a little cumin in it, a little bit of paprika. I made this kind of wet rub, and not only did it allow me to get rid of the sardines, but it actually formed this beautiful crust on the steak.
Yeah.
I mean, which I was not necessarily expecting. I normally don't go around putting sardines on $100 steaks, but it really was just a beautiful crust, and I was really happy. I also knew that you know, these things are probably 3 pounds. I mean, they're huge. And they were a good 2.5 inches thick. So
yeah.
I knew that they were going to need, even to get to like a medium rare, they were going to need a pretty good amount of time on the grill. And I also wanted to make sure I had enough time to bring them off and let them rest. And so then I started working on my crab. And I was trying to steam the crabs. And I could not get the water to boil. It was getting hot, but I couldn't get them to boil to steam. So I ended up throwing the crabs in the water, which I really didn't want to do, but I needed to get cooking. And then I eventually just was getting nowhere with them. So I eventually thought, okay, I'm just going to throw these right on the coals. And that's when, you know, I hadn't really been paying attention to my fire so much. Again, not really knowing the cooker. And I was, you know, pretty much you know, almost no coals left in there.
Man.
And so I got way behind, and I had a really difficult time picking any meat out of the crab, you know, enough as much as I wanted, because I just hadn't gotten them cooked enough, which, you know, I don't normally cook crab. I cook probably, I don't know, 5 or 6 times a summer out here in Maryland. We do crabs, never really on the grill like that. And, it was just, you know, one of those things where I was like, oh, God, I'm here in Annapolis. I'm not going to get enough crab meat. At this point, I wasn't paying any attention to what Eric was doing, but I was, they didn't really show up. The only time I really got nervous during the competition was when I was trying to pick that crab because I just wasn't getting what I wanted. And I think, you know, my hand just started shaking a little bit, making it even more difficult to pick. I mean, you know, even if you have a well-cooked blue crab, it's the easiest thing to get big lumps out of.
Yeah. No, you know, nothing personal, Heath, but you got your ass kicked on the blue crab because his crab cake, I mean, I was in shock that he pulled that much crab out of those as quickly as he did, you know, and your steak, that you could see that crust. I think that your steak was amazing looking, and I was guessing it was tasting just amazing, but I was really impressed, and I'm sure when you looked over, you went, oh, my God, he did a crab cake with everything.
Yeah, I didn't even really know what he did because he was on the right side of me, and after we finished cooking, they had us leave on the left side, so I didn't really get a chance to walk around and see his plate.
Oh.
Yeah, and I didn't really see his plate until we then came back up after they, you know, got all the stuff that they needed to set up to film with the judges, and that's when I first saw it. And, you know, when we went through the process, which you saw on TV, and I thought, you know, okay, I won steak, he won crab, and I was like, this is going to come down. And I didn't really know, you know, how much were they going to take into account the previous two rounds.
Yeah.
And, you know, how much were they only going to take into this round. And so I was like, you know, if they decide the steak was, you know, either more, they weighed the steak more, I thought I was going to win. If they weighed the crab more, I thought he was going to win. I felt like if they were going to weigh the previous two rounds into the decision, that I felt like, you know, I had turned in two pretty solid entries in the first two rounds. They were a bit more critical of his first round, and he did a pretty solid job in the second round. So I thought I maybe had a slight edge on him there. But in the back of my head, I'm just thinking, you know, we're in Annapolis, so they might choose the blue crab. But then I was also thinking to myself, well, you know, this is a grilling competition, and this, you know, a steak is kind of the king of the grill.
Yes,
maybe
it is.
They're going to be thinking out from that way.
Yes.
And then I also thought, you know, they might think, okay, his steak was the better steak, but you know, they were pretty critical of his steak being overcooked, and their criticism of mine wasn't necessarily that I didn't have a good tasting crab. It was just I didn't have enough of it.
Enough of it,
their criticism. So I thought, well, you know, I mean, I think maybe the difference between our two, you know, between my crab dish and his was I just didn't have enough of it versus mine wasn't something that was cooked properly. So, you know, it's going all through your head. And the one thing they don't really show you on the show is, so they do the judging with you, where you explain what you've cooked, and then they ask you questions. But then they have you walk off so that the judges can deliberate.
Right.
And so when and you're not out there for that. And so Eric and I are back in kind of the holding area that they had for us. And, you know, he was convinced that I won because of the steak, and I was convinced that he won because of the crab. And, yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, we were both exhausted by that point because we were out there for about 12 hours in the sun, and, you know, all the pressure and everything, it was just a really exhausting day. And I think we were both kind of resigned that the other one was going to walk away a winner. So I think, you know, I was excited to be able to go up against him because, you know, we've cooked, like I said, against each other a lot of times. I have the utmost respect for him. He's an amazing cook. He's beat me plenty of times, and I just happened to be the fortunate one to walk away that winner that day.
Well, it was a great round, and, you know, like I said, you guys were all really nicely matched. I think all four or three rounds were really fun to watch. And, you know, congratulations. It's a huge win, and that last second is amazing. But, you know, now that you're getting ready to turn in your competition reins, before we leave, tell us what you're going to be doing. I want to just talk real briefly before I go to my next guest.
Oh, well, I'm not leaving barbecue. I'm a political wonk.
Right.
Before I was ever in barbecue, I'm a lawyer. I worked on Capitol Hill. And entrepreneurship has become a huge deal for me. You know, we've been very fortunate enough to grow our company from nothing into one of the more successful startups out there in the specialty food world. You know, we're selling our sauce now all over the world in almost 5,000 stores. We've been fortunate enough to have some good exposure from places like Shark Tank. We've been fortunate enough to get some good capital investment, and I had an opportunity. We've got someone now that we've been successful enough to be able to hire someone to do a lot of the day-to-day stuff at Pork Barrel that has a lot more experience in the food industry than I do, and an opportunity came where I could be able to hopefully help other entrepreneurs in all aspects of, not just the food business, but energy, technology, retail, science, all kinds of areas, be able to hopefully find, capital, private equity investments, if they're, even larger small businesses that really kind of need a push to get to that next level.
Right.
And so I'm going to be working with a group called the Private Equity Growth Capital Council that represents a lot of the private equity firms in Washington, D.C., working with Congress and administration to try to do things that are advantageous to encourage investment, through these firms into entrepreneurs and emerging businesses. But I'm not, not done with barbecue. I'm cooking a contest in 2 weekends. We're cooking the Jack Daniels in October. We'll be in Kansas City to cook both the American Royal Open Invitational. We'll be in Las Vegas in November to cook the World Food Championships. Yes. We start our Sam's Club competitions in about 4 weeks. So we'll be, still out there cooking. Instead of just having the one job, now I'll have multiple oars in the fire. And be doing, instead of getting 6 hours of sleep a night, I'll probably be getting 4 now. And, for us, it's not just about growing our company. We've been very fortunate to have a lot of folks help us along the way. From,
yes, you have.
The likes in the barbecue world of people like Dave Raymond, better known as Sweet Baby Ray, to people in the food world like Andy Puzner, who's the CEO of Hardee's and Carl's Jr., to a person like Barbara Corcoran from Shark Tank, who is a amazing mentor. And so having an opportunity to really, hopefully help other folks get their business and their ideas up and running and have that capital available to them when they get to the point where it's ready to go to the next level is something that's exciting to me. And, there's so many great ideas out there that never get realized because people don't have access to the capital or they don't have the support that we were fortunate enough to have. And so if I'm able to go out there and help a few folks, attain their American dream, and that's a huge, huge deal for me and something is awesome for the country because our country really does run on small businesses. They're the engine of the country. They're the ones that employ so many people. They're the ones that innovate. They're the ones that come up with the ideas, and then hopefully there's someone like the venture capitalist or a private equity firm that has the finances that can then say, okay, you've got an amazing idea here, great prototype. Let's now take this to something that can become a consumer product or something that can, become a commercial drug that could cure a disease or, solve some major problem. So I'm not out of barbecue. We've still got the restaurant. We're still pushing our sauces. Hopefully we're about to announce a big deal with a major retailer in the near future on our sauces. I'm working on hopefully finding a cookbook deal soon, something I've always wanted to do. So I'm not done with barbecue by any means. I'll never be done with barbecue. We'll be out there on the circuit.
Well, listen, Heath, I appreciate your time. Congratulations on the big win. We'll be watching you with the upcoming adventures, and best of luck being able to help everybody else.
I appreciate it, and if anybody sees us on the road, please stop by and say hi. We'd love to chat.
All right. Thanks again, Heath.
Take care. Have a good night.
Okay. You too. All right.
Bye.
That's Heath Hall with Pork Barrel Barbecue, and he is the most recent winner on American Grilled, and we're getting ready to go to our last guest. Junior, are you there?
Hey, Lori. How are you?
How are you?
Well, I'm doing excellent. How are you, ma'am?
I'm great. We are here with Junior from Junior's Rub for Grub. And, you know, you have, you were probably listening to Heath talk about equity and taking small American businesses to the next level. And you've been just plugging along with your small American dream business, and you're doing pretty well.
Yeah, you know, he's right. You know, it's real hard to start something from scratch.
Yep.
You know, started, you know, my Rub for Grub business from nothing, and also my catering business from nothing. Pretty much just trying and begging people to use my stuff, and then also trying to get people to try my catering. And, you know, it's a difficult battle. Would I do it all over again? I probably wouldn't. Never again would I do it all over. But you know, you just got to love it to be able to keep on doing it. And it's all good. And all the people you meet along the way, it's you know, it's a blessing.
Absolutely. Now, we haven't checked in with you since, let's see, you were on right after your appearance on. Did we have you on after the second round or just the first round? Because I don't think we had you on for this after the second round of Pitmasters.
No, ma'am, I don't think we did. I don't know if we did the first round.
Yeah, we did.
You
were on with JD and...
Well, I don't know if I was on the show, on your show, to talk about it the first round. I'm not sure.
Well, it all becomes a blur, doesn't it, Junior?
You know what? It all runs together. That's right.
So what's happened for you since? Because that was a big show for you. And what's all happened with you since that aired?
Well, since the Barbecue Pitmasters aired, you know, there's been a lot of things that's been going on, you know, for my catering business as well with my seasoning. Wow, just a lot of good stuff has been happening, Lori. Just my rub has really taken off real good. It's hard for me to keep it in stock. Even also my retailers are having trouble keeping it. It's just a good rub, good seasoning, and a lot of people use it.
Yeah, you're seeing a lot more of it. You know, teams that are using it are posting more and more online. So, I mean, you're definitely seeing a pretty nice basis out there because there isn't a whole lot of all-purpose rubs that – a lot of people are using, and yours seems to be one that a lot of people are using.
Right. Yeah, it's a bold seasoning. You know, it's a real good. A lot of people use it as a base, as a solid base seasoning, and a lot of people use it as a finishing base. So, yeah, it's very universal. It works on any of categories for competition or just around the house. People use it on popcorn, on the macaroni and cheese, on pizza. I mean, it's just that good.
Yeah. Now, I see you've been competing quite a bit lately. What have you got coming up? Because are you going to be in Lubbock?
For the breakfast. Yes, I am. It's in August the 8th.
Yep.
It's called Breakfast in Lubbock, Texas. Okay. IBCA sanctioned
yep.
event. And I believe Barbecue Superstars is going to be live out there, and we'll be right there.
And I will be there.
Oh, my gosh. Are you going to be down there?
I'm going to be there with Daryl helping cover it. So you definitely will definitely set an interview up with you on, you know, for – because I haven't done the interview setups yet, but I wasn't sure if you were going to be, and I thought this would be a great time to ask you about that. But, yeah, I'd love to have you come and do an interview with us while we're in Lubbock, and I'd definitely like to finally meet you in person.
Wow, that'd be awesome. I can't wait, Lori. That would be great. Yeah, Lubbock is a beautiful town. The place where they're going to have it is full of trees. It's real gorgeous. You know, there's a lake there. It's just a good event. You know, last year was a good event. This year, I'm sure it's going to be just as good, if not better, with y'all being there as well. So,
yeah, it'll be fun. Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. Now, did you change your traveling trailer for competition? I know you were looking to sell your toy hauler. What did you end up doing? Did you get a new competition rig?
Well, I had that toy hauler. I don't think I'm going to use it anymore for competition. And I got that competition rig. I don't know if you've seen it. It's my catering / competition trailer. I've been using it again, and it seems like my luck's turned around again with it, just by using it.
Well,
so,
you weren't getting too cushy in the toy hauler, were you?
I was getting too comfortable, I think.
Oh, that's not good.
Yeah,
because
you've
been to quite a few contests lately.
Yeah, sure have. We've been doing pretty good. I've gotten two grand champions since. And a couple of other close GCs, and yeah, we've been doing quite a bit.
And we
got some good cook-offs coming up. Of course, you know, the Breast Fest, and in August, that's going to be a good one. It's an IBCA sanctioned event. Then in September, we got the, and you might be going to this one. I'm not for sure. It's going to be a FBA sanctioned event.
The Hobbs, New Mexico.
Yeah, Hobbs, New Mexico.
Yep,
the blowout.
I'll be there.
I'm really excited for that. You know, it's a $30,000 payout cook-off.
Yeah.
FBA sanctions. And on top of that, I think they're going to have the state cook-off with the SCA guys. Yeah.
Actually, I'm going to, you know, I'm coming up again with, I'm not going to compete, but I mentioned to Daryl that I would like to compete in stake while I'm there because the bad thing that happens in Florida is we don't do any of the state. I mean, we have very few, and we don't have any that are qualifiers. So I would like to compete in stake while we're there because it's not like it's going to take time away from covering the event.
Right, right. Yeah, you just all you need is a small grill and you know, cooking steaks. It's an awesome way to doing a cook-off as well. If you don't have much time, it's real fun. You don't have to pack a lot of stuff and. Anyways, it's going to be a good cook-off.
I'm sure somebody will loan me a little space to...
Oh, yeah. I'll have plenty of space, so if you need whatever you need, you can more than welcome to use my equipment.
Now, are you going to cook the steak event, too?
I think I will. I really enjoy cooking steaks. The last steak cook-off we were at was at the... there in San Marcos at the convention, the National Barbecue Conference convention.
Oh, yeah.
And that was a good deal. So I'm excited to do it.
Yeah. Well, I didn't realize that you traveled that far. I mean, I know you guys crack me up in Texas because you have to go so far for some of the competitions, and you have – this is where Craig Sherry and I always chat about this, but you have four sanctioning bodies there in Texas, right?
Yeah, we have, exactly.
Yeah.
The only ones I do is the main ones are going to be the KCBS, of course, IBCA, and then there's the Texas Golf Course sanctioning, and then Lone Star, but I don't do many Lone Stars.
I forgot about Lone Star. You know, that's wild for there to be that much in one state. I mean, I realize it's gigantic, but that dilutes your pool, doesn't it, of competitors?
It really does, you know. Well, for me in my area, I have to travel at least 3, 4, 5, 6-plus hours to make some good cook-offs.
Do you?
Yes.
Yeah, that cuts into just time for catering. How do you end up swinging that all the time, Junior? Because you're still doing quite a bit of contests, but I know your catering has picked up. How are you able to swing that?
Well, I'm really looking for the better cagals, and I'm really picking and choosing. It's sad to say, but I pick and choose sometimes the caterings that I want to do that are worth you know, for me to stay. So
right,
I had to do that because, you know, competition is also my living. not like the catering, but you know what I'm talking about.
We kind of joke about this, but at least when you're catering, you know you're leaving with a check. You know?
That's right.
You don't always know it. Yeah.
If you don't burn the briskets.
if you don't burn the, yeah, that's not good. That would not be good.
Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah, it's always guaranteed money, but it's all good.
Yeah. Do you have anything else getting ready to come up besides regular competitions? Got any new rubs or anything coming out?
Well, you know, the last time we talked, Nori, I had the beef rub, which I'm only giving to select teams as of right now. They're using it. There's been some good pop hits with it, and I think we're going to go ahead and push along and start producing it. It's a good beef rub. It's dominant on brisket. I've already got three first-place briskets out of six cook-offs, I think, this year.
Wow.
So it's a real dominant beef rub. And as a matter of fact, I use it on Pitmasters on my brisket and also my beef ribs. So
had beef ribs, didn't you? I forgot that.
Sure did.
Yeah.
Sure did.
Hey, I was watching a barbecue crawl last week, and I can't think of it, the name of it. They have giant beef ribs, and those, do you know which place I'm talking about? It's supposed to be world famous there.
Yes, ma'am. Well, there's a couple places that have the beef ribs.
The
one
giant
is,
beef ribs?
Yes, ma'am. The one's La Barbecue. It's a restaurant there in the San Marcos area. The phenomenal beef ribs. They are just off the hook. And, you know, it's a little bit more common in that area to have beef ribs. But, they're excellent. I got to try them, and, wow, I was really impressed with them.
Yeah, that's not a common thing in barbecue joints here. I figured it would definitely be there. And I had forgotten that you guys had beef ribs on one of your segments there at Pitmasters.
Yeah, we did. It was a good deal. The ribs came out great. I used that beef rub, and even on the brisket, I used the beef rub, and it won for us. So
yeah,
I'm excited to get it out.
That's nice to be able to have under your belt with using your own product. Anytime you have that, are you using injections with your brisket that you might like to share with us?
No injections whatsoever, Lori. I
really?
I don't like. No, really. I don't like, I don't know, I've tried injections, and I just hasn't worked out for me. I just can't cook like that. So I've come along, learned how to just do brine and stuff like that to get my flavor.
Love the brine.
And then come in with some dominant seasoning.
Yeah. So you don't inject anything?
The only thing I inject is pork.
Oh, you do inject pork.
Right. When we do KCBS or, you know, in Hobbs, we'll do the FBA. I'll inject.
Yeah, I'm so anxious to see, and I'm a certified judge for FBA, so it'll be interesting to see how so many teams are going to hit a new circuit for the first time. And, I give all you guys a lot of credit because it's going to be any man's game out there. You know your flavor profiles for the area, but it's still a little different than KCBS because if you guys put that just flat in the box and no greens underneath it and you don't lift it up with something underneath, it's going to be like a first-time guy going to a contest. So it'll be really interesting
right.
to see how that goes. I'm kind of anxious to take a peek in there as that's happening. And I don't know what the numbers are out there yet, but, you know, kudos to you guys for being open to it, and I'm glad you're going to be up there too.
Yeah, I'm super excited the FBA is coming down. To me, the FBA, it's kind of almost like a cross between KCBS and IBCA because,
that's
you know, an IBCA.
Yeah.
Right. To me, it's going to be a cross. And having experience with both sanctions, I think it's going to help us out a little bit.
Yeah.
So, and even with the flavoring and all that, I think we'll might have to adjust it a little bit, but I'm excited, you know, I really am.
Have you cooked FBA before?
I have never cooked FBA.
Okay.
But I'm pretty confident it's going to just come naturally to me,
yeah.
So I'm ready
a
and excited.
Different. And it'll be like a vacation because you have an hour between turn and you guys won't know what to do with yourselves.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I know it. That's crazy, an hour. Wow.
Yeah, but so, now you who do you cook with on your competition team?
You know, I used to I started off with a big group of people, you know, and this is when I first started off competing. Then I slowly started just slipping away and started doing things a little bit, started getting more into it. And I finally ended up by myself. And the only reason was that was more I was really getting real serious with everything and it seemed like everybody else that was with me wasn't. So
right.
Now, recently, I picked up Ken. He's my uncle by marriage, and he's been going with me consistently to the cook-offs, and he's been a real good help. And, you know, it shows when you have the extra help, and
yeah.
It really shows. So I've been taking real good, and you know, he's a good guy, and he does everything for me from running trays to making the trays, so it helps.
Yeah. You know, there's nothing like leaving a contest and everything is actually put away. People that, you know, cook with teams, they don't know the turmoil to leave and something's not done. And, you know, just at some point you have to stop. So, yeah, I knew that you were cooking with somebody, but I didn't know who it was. So I'm glad that you found somebody like that. You know, Junior, I didn't even realize we're out of time, my friend.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I know. Heath went over just a little bit. I'm sorry about that. But is there anything you want to leave us with?
Yeah, I just want to say a big thanks, a huge thanks to all my sponsors. You know, I don't know if you know Lori, but I'm a partnership with the Myron Mixon Smokers. So they're one of my huge sponsors now. I'm excited. I've been doing real good with the Vulcan Gravity Fit 33. I've been really kicking some butt with it.
I did see you had it, but I didn't know the deal. So, yeah, great
job. That's a good, I'm telling you, it put some good product out there, and I'm excited for this year with it. So a big thanks to them, Myron Mixon and all the gang. Baxter's Original, you know,
mm-hmm.
they got the best wood in the business, awesome wood, real great, and also Junior's Rub for Grub.
Junior's Rub for Grub.
It sponsors my cook-off team, so.
Yeah, it's amazing how that works out, isn't it? Hey, listen, when you get your beef rub in production, will you let us know so we can make sure to announce it to everybody too? And if you do decide, and I'll keep you in mind for the Christmas show, if you want to do a special for the Christmas show this year, you know, I'm always looking for somebody that wants to, you know, feature their item.
Sure.
But thanks for being with us, and I will talk to you in Lubbock.
All right, Lori, thanks for having me, and if I don't see you before, I'll send you some of that beef rub so you can have and your arsenal.
Okay, sounds like a great deal. Thanks, Junior.
Okay, you bet. We'll see you.
That's Junior's Rub for Grub with us tonight. And sorry, folks, but that's it for the evening. And I want to thank my sponsors, Sweet Smoke Q, Jim Elzer. And let me just say, Jim is recuperating nicely from his surgery. Got a quick chat with him the other day. Mac Daddy Smokers, Rec-Tec Pellet Cookers, Pirate 50, Royal Oak, and cookandpellets.com. And again, if you see me at a contest and you want to look at any of my arsenal, whether it's my juice can, which is my ugly drum, held together with aluminum foil at this point because it had to have something ugly on it, or you want to take a look at the pellet cooker, come on by and stop in to take a look at anything. I'm happy to show them. I appreciate what my sponsors do for me. And we will see you probably. I'm doing a show for Saturday. It'll be a little off-time show, but after the Live Oak turn-in, I'll get around and talk to everybody. We're going to schedule that. So I'm looking at 2 o'clock on Saturday. But otherwise, we'll be back with you next Tuesday at the regular scheduled time. Thanks for being with us. Thanks to my guests. And remember, it's all good in the barbecue hood.